This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, kids with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder face a lot of challenges. Now there's an app being developed to help them stay focused and motivated. But first, last November, Cincinnati voters approved a $48 million levy for Cincinnati Public Schools, part of which will be used to increase access to quality preschool. When the first classes start in August, an additional 2,000 Cincinnati 3- and 4-year-olds will start attending subsidized preschool as part of the expansion program. And the goal is 6,000 children in 5 years. Cincinnati Preschool Promise recently held sessions to reach out to preschool providers who are interested in being involved with the program. And the organization also will hold several informational sessions for parents starting Monday. And here to update us are Stephanie Bird, Interim Director of Cincinnati Preschool Promise, and Vanessa White, Lead Implementation Director. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Vanessa and Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Stephanie, very good. You got that down in unison. That was perfect.
We've been working together a lot these days.
Stephanie, tell us why the need for expanding access to quality preschool?
Oh, that's a great question. So we know from research and from our own local data that children who have had a quality preschool experience are more likely to be ready for kindergarten. And when you're ready for kindergarten, that sets you on a path to being more likely to be successful in school. And so it is one of those things that if you know better, do better. And the earlier you start, the better off children will be. And so we know that, and we're trying to make it more available for the children
in our community.
So
this carries them all throughout their school career?
Well, I mean, people would say that that's debatable. We know that the academic gains that children have from being in preschool are significant at kindergarten entry and at third grade reading. There's also social-emotional developmental benefits that when they get into the later grades and as adults. That having that experience as a preschooler bears out as they're adults. So there are a variety of different benefits that have gains for the child and for our community over time.
And Vanessa, how exactly is this expansion going to work? What's the whole process here?
So we have two major focuses that we're working on right now. One is the tuition assistance that you mentioned that will directly benefit those children who are a certain income level who are in quality providers, which is according to the state Step Up the Quality system, that they have a 3, 4, or 5 star. So they'll be able to start receiving the tuition assistance that you referred to starting this school year. And then there's another component of this that is going to work with those providers who are unrated ones and twos to give them the kind of quality support that they need to get up to that 3, 4, or 5 star in the state Step Up the Quality. So it by no means means that parents are, you know, have their children, like parents choose, and we want to make sure that parent choice is a big part of this, where you want to send your child for whatever provider. But we also want to support as many people as we can. And we know that those children who are getting that or will be getting that quality support will also benefit from the supports that we're going to have put in place. So we're really excited about the fact that it is a broad and comprehensive approach that will have long lasting change.
So two levels to this, Stephanie, and the first level involves the parents themselves. Who's eligible for the tuition assistance?
That's a great question. So, our long-term goal is that all families be eligible. And as we talked about this early on, going back to 5 years ago, we were looking at a universal program that would allow all families to access it. As the reality of what has been made available through the passing of Issue 44, which was a hallmark day for all of us and seeing that pass, we know that the resources that we have available for preschool will allow us to reach those children who need it most and who benefit most. And those are kids who are low income, whose families are up to 200 or 300% of the federal poverty level. So universal is a long-term aspiration. What we have resources to do today is really more focused on children who have a income need and who don't have the resources in their home to be able to afford this on their own.
So this is about expansion at this point or increasing access at this point.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Expanding access and primarily through looking at our existing array of programs and helping them get into the Step Up to Quality system. And I say that because when you look at the number of 3- and 4-year-olds we have in our community, there are about 9,000. And we believe that about 7,700 over the course of the next 5 years will use a preschool program. We have about 7,100 preschool seats as it is. What we don't have is all of those seats in a level of quality that would assure that that child is going to be ready for kindergarten. And so we're working with the providers whose seats aren't necessarily a 3, 4, or 5 to get them in that system. One, because we know it makes a difference for children, but also because our state has said by 2020, all programs have to be in the system. But there's been no financial support to help them get there.
And that's where the quality grants, the second mm-hmm. step come in, the quality grants
so
are.
So we're expanding access to quality providers for the families, and we're also expanding the landscape of quality in our community. So, I mean, it really is a two-pronged approach. And you said who's one to go back and make sure when you said who will have priority, who will we prioritize? It's along income level. And it's also goes back to that children needing to be ready for kindergarten, that we're also going to prioritize 4-year-olds to make sure that we first make sure that, you know, the children need get that at least that 1 year of quality preschool before they start on the tuition assistance side.
Now, the rankings for the providers, how are those determined?
The state has had the Step Up the Quality rating system since about 2006. And it is a system that's voluntary that measures a variety of things. So it looks at the qualifications of the staff, the learning environment itself, whether or not an assessment and a curriculum are in place and teachers know how to use it. It looks at the administration, so business practices of the program, and then also the programs engaging the community and parents in how their program operates. So those are the four kind of domains of how quality is rated. And then there are criteria within each of those that allow the state to determine if it's a 1 up to a 5-star rating.
Mm-hmm. Or they could even be unrated. I mean, not every provider is rated, right?
Well, that's right. It's a voluntary process. And what the state has said is that by 2020, if you receive children who rely on the state child care subsidy, then you have to be in the rating system. You don't have to be a 3, but you have to be a 1 by 2020. And that would be one of those things that is a great goal, but unless there's funding to support it, programs won't get there. And so our community has agreed that it's important to have more quality, and so we're able to use some of the resources from the levy to support that increase in quality.
And to make sure I understand, in the Cincinnati Preschool Promise, 3s, 4s, and 5s, you can use your tuition credit toward a provider that has those rankings.
That's correct. Yes.
Again, 513-419-7100. If you have any questions about the Cincinnati Preschool Promise, you can also join us at by emailing talk@wvxu.org or by finding us on Facebook or Twitter. So how is this all being funded?
Well, we're very fortunate that our community back in November of 2016, November 8th, 2016, voted for Issue 44. And Issue 44 is a school levy. It's a school district levy. Cincinnati Public Schools is the taxing authority. And so the levy has generated $48 million annually for the district's needs in its K-12 programming and then for preschool. Of that $48 million, $33 goes to the district to support the K-12 programming, and then the $15 million is used for expansion of preschool both in the district and in the community.
And then who's actually managing the program?
We have a great board that we're really proud of. It's a very diverse board. So the Cincinnati Preschool Promise, their first board meeting was March 2nd. We just had another board meeting last week, another board upcoming. So we have a very committed group of volunteers who have agreed to jump in and really help push and help get this thing moving. So the Cincinnati Preschool Promise Board, but in collaboration with Cincinnati Public School Board, because it is a levy that we're sharing that expansion. So lots of collaboration and lots of hard work is going into getting things up and running and implemented in a good fashion.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a lot of collaboration to make all
absolutely.
This come together smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, a big part of educating kids is getting them to school. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, is there help with transportation built into this whole thing?
That is the age-old question. And while $15 million is very generous on behalf of our community, it is not sufficient to tackle that problem in its entirety. We know that there are some programs who are creating their own transportation systems or getting their own buses and are going to be able to make transportation available for the children who are going to their program. But there is no transportation system yet. It's one of those high-priority things that we're going to take a look at. But we'll have to look at some solutions that aren't necessarily solving the transportation issue that I know parents will have. The best way to avoid that is to have more quality in the neighborhoods where families live. And so we're using a very targeted approach to make sure that where we have a limited supply of quality, that we really work with the providers in those communities to make quality more available so that transportation is less of an issue. But we know that that's going to be an important thing for us to tackle.
And that's across the entire early childhood education system, because Cincinnati Public Schools does not provide transportation for preschool-age children either. So, I mean, it really is something that is not, when you talk about the collaboration, it's really thinking about it broadly across the system. And I think that's where other partners come into play, because we're having conversations about transportation across our city. How effective is that in terms of getting people to work? And so I think that what this does open up is a lot of other means of being able to collaborate with other sectors in our community, which is what makes our board. It's diverse. It crosses people from the business community, people from the nonprofit sector, folks from the healthcare sector. So it really is a board that's really thinking about a number of factors as it relates to making sure our children have what they need to be successful lifelong.
You just had your first series of meetings with the providers, the program providers. Mm-hmm. What kind of reaction, what kind of response did you get to those meetings?
It was very positive, very positive. People have been waiting a long time. We've been talking about this for years, as Stephanie mentioned, but November, people wanted to know what was happening. And so we were really able to start to share with them how this is really going to work on the ground. So we have providers who were equally, if you are 3, 4, and 5, we stress that families will be able to access tuition. But you also have these providers who are motivated to get the quality and those resources have not been available, who are for the first time feeling a sense of, you know, aspiration to become that quality, you know, that quality provider in their neighborhood. So it was really a mixed level of some relief and a lot of, questioning, how's this really going to work? And so what we have said was we wanted to get a first, like, interest and see where people are. We're going to go back to the providers and the third week of April, April 24th, 25th, 26th, with more high-level details about applying to be a Preschool Promise provider. How are we going to go about? What do you need? What are the commitments? In the meantime, like you said, we're going to do some parent information sessions so that we know that parents and providers are equally excited about this opportunity, and those start next week. So we have a very robust community engagement plan, and we're also being highly responsive to what we're learning from providers. And just as a for instance, when we're saying we're really trying to make sure this works for all, is that we have put those provider sessions in the evening. Well, we have some providers who are providing care all day long, you know, or provide evening care. So then we said, okay, we're going to do some Saturday sessions in May and June. So we're going to be continuously getting the word out about what's going on. So lots of excitement.
No, I think that covers it, says it well, and all of the meetings have been very well attended, and we learned something new in each one of them, mm-hmm. And it is a two-way process.
Mm-hmm. We will continue our conversation about the Cincinnati Preschool Promise, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. And here to update us on the Cincinnati Preschool Promise are Interim Director Stephanie Bird and Lead Implementation Director Vanessa White. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk to Irene in Clifton. Hi, Irene.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Yes. Congratulations on the successful levy. Please be mindful that this $48 million directly impacts the generosity of property owners to vote yes in supporting other similar worthy issues on the ballot for November. specifically elderly services, which provides service to older adults and their family members. So the property owners have entrusted you with this. Please be transparent and mindful of what type of gift this is. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about oversight and transparency of how the money is used?
She's so right. It is a gift. And we have such a generous community, and we are not taking that lightly. And being transparent is at the top of the list. All of our board meetings are open to the public. All of our meeting materials are open to the public. We encourage the public to come and participate. One of the things that we're very clear about is reporting, making sure that not just the district, school district who is responsible for these funds to the community, but also that we do an annual report that shows the community how well these resources are being used in terms of efficiency, in terms of child outcomes, and achieving the goals that we told the community we were going to achieve by having this funding available. Because we know that this is not something that our community took lightly, and they are funding it, and we owe it to them and to the children to make it work for all, and to be as judicious as we can be in how we use the resources and accountable for those dollars.
Mm-hmm. And just to add just an extra, we talked about the collaboration between Cincinnati Preschool Promise and Cincinnati Public Schools, and as a former school board member, knowing how that, you know, how you have to have transparency, you have to have, we're talking about all those things, and not just about the meetings being open to the public, but how do we create other systems, a website that makes sure we can post information, should we be recording? We're asking all those questions to make sure that we are definitely open to questions. And as, you know, Stephanie said, there's a time where the board has talked about having that same public space, but then we're also you'll also be able to get information from Cincinnati Public School Board meetings as well, because budgets have to be approved. There'll be auditing procedures in place. So while we're excited about what we're able to do, we're also very cognizant of how we need to be accountable to making sure that we get the outcomes that we promise, yeah. Inheriting preschool promise.
So. Speaking of outcomes, do you have an idea so far about how you're going to measure the success of this?
We had a meeting about that this morning. It's a really important issue. Our goal, obviously, initially is to improve kindergarten readiness, and how we measure that is up for discussion. There's not one best measure for doing that, but there is one that the state has had in place now for several years called the Kindergarten Readiness Assessment, which we know we'll want to monitor. We've been looking at that for years. And so we'll look at that. We'll also want to consider things like social-emotional development and how children are able to better adapt to their new environment when they go into preschool, so that when they go into kindergarten, it's not a whole new experience for them. There's not one good measure for that, but that's an important measure as well. We've talked about parent engagement. Does having motivated parents who get their children in a preschool program then set them up for being more engaged in their child's education as they get into kindergarten? So there are a lot of things, a lot of questions that we are pondering and trying to figure out which ones are most important for our community to know, and then having a measure to really tell us how well we're doing in that area.
Now, will the tuition credits, will those affect Head Start and other forms of preschool funding?
So, yeah, we have said that these tuition assistance dollars will be basically the last dollar in. And so if a child is eligible for other public funding, we want those dollars to be used in addition to our local dollars, so that the combination of the two pays for the tuition. So we're not using these local dollars to cover services that should be paid for by other resources. We have the child care subsidy that the state has paid for a long time. It's never been adequate to really get to the level of quality that programs need, and Head Start dollars, and we don't have enough of those to cover the number of children who are eligible. So we're going to leverage those, but then add the Preschool Promise dollars to that to really get to a cost of quality that allows providers to get to quality and maintain the quality in their programs.
And we'll also be evaluating the investment in those quality improvement dollars as well. So what is that impact on the center? Because even though we know that, you know, both where the tuition assistance dollars will be used and at the unrated centers, that other children the entire center will benefit because we're improving the quality of teachers, we're improving the quality of administrators. So we also will be measuring that the benefit of all providers being all children and all providers, all educators being able to benefit from the investments that we're making. So it really is across the evaluation, will really be across the entire system.
How many providers do you have so far?
Who are interested?
Yes.
Well, the first session, we had everyone who came, who was within Cincinnati boundaries. We should say that you have to live in Cincinnati, school district boundaries, and your center, the provider has to be both.
Okay.
And so of all of those folks who were in that space, everyone who came signed an interest form. So we're seeing a lot of interest, so.
Has anybody definitely come on board so far?
That won't happen until the second round.
Okay.
Round two of provider sessions, we will actually have the applications available. We're going to be providing technical assistance for them to fill those out. So we'll know more about that come May. You can have us back.
Do you have an idea of how diverse you would like for this group of providers to be?
Very.
Very. And we have a wide variety of providers there. We want to include center-based programs, those that are in a business kind of setting, both not-for-profit and for-profit, one location, multiple locations, faith-based, not faith-based, home-based providers. The real continuity that we're hoping for is that they be motivated to get into the quality rating system, or if they're there, to move up. And so diversity is important because we know the needs of families are very diverse. Families need all kinds of care, and they all have different values. And so we want to be able to meet the needs, the wide variety of needs that our families have. And so having diversity among our provider group is really important.
Now, what about the parent sessions that are coming up? Tell us about that.
Ooh, they start next week. We have sessions starting. We have one session that's set for Monday, and that session is at Gamble Nippert Y on the west side of town. We have a Tuesday session that will be at the Community Action Agency. These are in the evening for now, and again, we'll go back to parents later. And then we have two sessions set up on some days, and then on the 19th. So then with the next week, so the 10th and 11th, because we're respectful of, you know, people who may be leaving for Easter break and that kind of thing, and then we're going to pick back up on the 17th, 18th, and 19th. And so the second week we'll have, I think we have confirmed, six more sessions that are across the city. So we're trying to make sure we cover the entire gamut. And then we're also going to do other parent information sessions in neighborhoods like Sailor Park or Mount Washington that are kind of on the extreme sides of town. But what we've heard from those residents is it'd be better linked to like a community council meeting or something like that. So we have a lot coming up.
Well, what's the website where people can get more information on this?
www.askpreschoolpromise.org.
Okay, and we have a link to that at wvxu.org as well. And after these parent sessions and after these provider sessions, what's the next step?
Well, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that are going on that aren't necessarily fun to talk about, but necessary. So we're trying to get the systems in place to allow families and providers to enroll. Behind the scenes, all of those systems are being set up. But we are going to be spending the summer and the upcoming months really out in the community, getting the word out, telling providers how they can enroll, telling parents how they can enroll, where they can go for the quality rated programs, what's available in the community to support their making those decisions, really trying to make those connections. So it will be a really busy summer.
Busy time ahead of August.
Time.
August is the first class to start, is that right?
Yes, we're trying to do this in conjunction with the 2017 school year.
And if I can just add one more thing.
Sure.
At the parent sessions, they don't have to wait, but there are some parents who may be trying to locate a provider. And so our resource and referral organization is 4Cs for Children. So if there are parents who are saying, okay, I want to be involved, but, you know, my child is 4-year-old and how do I find a provider? In the meantime, they can contact them, but they will be on hand at these sessions as well to provide that level of information for parents.
Vanessa and Stephanie, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Bird, the interim director of Cincinnati Preschool Promise, and Vanessa White, who's the lead implementation director.